Praise the Lord. Just had a great time of ministry in France and Germany. One encouraging thing for me personally was in 1 week I did 16 meetings, and that's evidence of the Lord's healing, because I haven't been able to do that for a couple of years. So I just give him all the glory for that. To do 16 long meetings with ministry and everything at the end of each of them just shows the goodness of God. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3. I've been hearing a lot from the Lord concerning what he's going to do at camp and how there's going to be a major release of his spirit there. And I was sort of full of all kinds of things I could preach this morning, but God has sort of cut across all that and said, well, there'll be time for that, but I want to speak right into the now, into the present, of what God is wanting to do in us as a church. What we have to remember is that this is our church camp. We extend our congregation from several hundred to several thousand. And therefore, what we take into the camp as a church is a key element. It's on that that God builds. It's that that God takes hold of and, if you like, makes the foundation of everything else the Spirit is going to do, not only in the main meetings, but throughout the camp. Can we get rid of this echo we got here? Okay, now, I was surprised, really, when God laid this word on my heart this morning. But already, the way the meeting has gone, the word has been mentioned several times. That is the word wisdom. God is wisdom. And there's a lot in the book of Proverbs about wisdom. But we want to take hold of a series of things that God says here in chapter 3 of Proverbs. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Amen. Now, there's always a purpose in whatever God tells us to do. You've often heard me say there's always a so that God will bless his people or further his purposes or extend his kingdom in some way. He never commands us to do something just for the sake of doing it. He always wants us to move further ahead in his purposes. Now, if you were to reflect for a moment, think back over your life, the times you regret are the times you've been foolish. So foolish, in fact, that you've probably said to yourself, if I had my time over again, I would not do that, I would not do this, I would not say this, I would not go there, I would not have had that relationship, whatever it might have been. You look back and you think, that was foolish. And God is wisdom. Now that means God never does a foolish thing. You could never accuse God of being foolish. So everything the Holy Spirit leads us to do is wise. Amen? So if we followed the Holy Spirit perfectly, we would walk in perfect wisdom. I think the most difficult thing about living the Christian life is that God never makes us do anything. He never impinges upon our free will. He always gives us the choice. So we have to choose wisdom. We have to choose to please the Lord. Now, foolishness to us is usually that something that stirs up a sense of regret. I wish I hadn't done that. But I think what we have to understand is that foolishness is sin. And all sin is foolishness. Do I have anybody with me here this morning? Yeah. Why? Because, well, if everything that God does is wise and we do something foolish, then that must have been against the will of God. Now, praise Him, there's no condemnation for us when we do foolish things. He is ready to forgive us as soon, of course, as we confess what we've done as sin. Well, Lord, that was foolish, and I ask you to forgive me. It's not just a sense of, well, I regret having done that. We have to ask for His forgiveness. Please forgive me. And He forgives us, and we can move on. And God always says, in the midst of that kind of scenario, well, okay, you realize that acting like that is foolish, so don't act like that again. Learn from your mistake. Now, what is said at the opening here of this chapter is, do not forget my teaching, keep my commands in your heart. Now, you see, if everything God does is wise, every command He gives us is wise. Therefore, it is always wise to obey His commands. It's always wise to do what He says. It is foolishness, therefore, to disobey Him. It is foolishness to go against His word. It is sinful to go against that word, but going against the word is likely to have negative impact on our life and also often on the lives of other people. But look at the fruit of obedience to His command. Obedience to His commands will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. You know, I preach sometimes in other places to silent congregations when I say things like that. And I say, well, if I was at home, everybody would have shouted hallelujah or amen at that point. You've let me down. So shall we try that once again? That if we obey the Lord, the result will be that He will prolong our lives many years and bring us prosperity. I'm sure you want your life to be prolonged many years so that you can serve the Lord for many years. And I'm quite sure you want to be prosperous. Praise God. Okay, then we go into verse 3. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So it's wise to be loving. It's not just right, it's wise to be loving. It's wise to be faithful. I preached on faithfulness a little while ago. Because I believe that this is a characteristic that is so lacking among God's people in this generation. And that what God needs is a faithful people. And He calls us to be faithful. But to be faithful to Him is to be faithful to His word, faithful to His will, faithful to what He is asking of us. But look at the results of love and faithfulness. You will win favor. That's grace. You will win favor with God and with man. And you will have a good name with God and man. I want a good name with God. Anybody else want a good name with God? Well, the way to have a good name with God is never to lose sight of love and faithfulness. So it's foolish to be unloving. It's foolish to lack faithfulness and therefore sinful. But we want to concentrate on the positive because the Holy Spirit lives within us to produce the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit, the characteristics of God, and love and faithfulness are two of those characteristics. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, faithfulness. Goodness, kindness, and so on. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So every one of us can be faithful simply by trusting to the Holy Spirit who lives within us. And so in verse 5, we find that there's another wisdom. So we're wise if we obey His commands. We're wise if we're loving and faithful. Then trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. So it's wise to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Which means it's foolishness not to trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's foolishness to take things into your own hands. It's foolishness to lean on your own understanding of things. It's foolishness to think your opinions matter. I'll say that one again because that needs emphasis. It's foolishness to think that your opinions matter. God couldn't care less about your opinions, and actually, nor could anybody else. But it takes some people a long time to realize that.
That's right.
Amen? I mean, even my wife doesn't care about my opinions, so... And that's right. That's right. Because our opinions are simply a work of the flesh. But when we have understanding of the Lord's will and of His ways, and those are the guiding principles of our life, then look what will happen. He will make your paths straight. Now, I like that because, you know, it's foolishness to meander all over the place in your walk with God. It's much better to follow the Holy Spirit, who will always lead you in wisdom, always guide you into the truth, and always lead you in the right way. And even when we've diverted in some ways from God's best purpose, He will bring us back onto the straight path. Somebody say hallelujah quick. Then it's wise to fear the Lord and to shun evil. Now, everything that's evil is foolish. So you wouldn't be foolish enough to watch it. You wouldn't be foolish enough to listen to it. You wouldn't be foolish enough to read it. Amen? Which just about leaves you with a test match. But you know what I mean. So, if we are wise, we fear the Lord. Now, to fear the Lord is to honor Him in everything. And to honor His word over your life. His word is the guiding principle of your life. So the Spirit and the Word can be operating together within you. Now, what's going to happen if you're wise enough to fear the Lord and to shun evil? To shun evil is to have nothing to do with it. Well, look here. I mean, I'm in for this one. Verse 8. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. One of the positive things that many people will testify to about going through a time of sickness is they come out purified at the end of it. Now, that doesn't mean that God wants us to be sick, but God does know how to use times of sickness and adversity. And how many people have got their lives straight with God through a time of sickness because it's been a matter of life or death to do that? Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, you're in pain or you're under some kind of death sentence or something. You are going to do whatever is necessary to get your life right with God so His healing power can take hold of your life. Unless you're foolish, of course. It would be foolish to be in sickness and not care about the other aspects of your life. it isn't that necessarily the sin has caused the sickness, but sin can sure prevent the healing. Hello? But to fear the Lord and to shun evil brings healing, health to your body, and nourishment to your bones. That's another hallelujah place. Come on, you do your part. Now, it's wise, therefore, to obey his commands. It's wise to walk in love and faithfulness. It's wise to trust the Lord with all your heart. It's wise to fear the Lord and not be wise in your own eyes. Amen? But it's wise then, in verse 9, to honor the Lord with your wealth. Now, I know many of you do. You tithe and you give offerings over and above your tithe. That's honoring the Lord with your wealth. It's showing that you honor him, you honor his word, and you know that when you honor the Lord in any way, he honors you in return. And therefore, if you honor the Lord with your wealth, he will honor you by fulfilling his promise and giving you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. What you have sown, you will reap, but you will reap with abundance. Amen. There's always, you see, a benefit from doing what honors the Lord. So honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Let's just put that in modern context, shall we? Then your bank balance will be filled to overflowing, and your account will brim over. So you've got so much to give away.
Come on.
Amen? Because you don't want to store it up in barns. Right. Then in verse 11, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the son he delights in. So it's wise to accept the Lord's discipline. I mean, who knows the Lord has the habit of saying things you don't like to hear sometimes? He even gets preachers to say them sometimes. But instead of saying, oh, I don't like that, say, well, thank you, Lord. You're speaking to me because you want to bring your order and your discipline into an area of my life where that is exactly what I need. So this is wisdom, not to despise the Lord's discipline. Then in verse 13, blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For she, that's wisdom, is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. So that's how highly God values wisdom. He says, this is the most valuable commodity you can have. It's much better than all your worldly wealth. Now, look at the effect. Verse 16, long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. We've been talking in recent weeks about honoring God. Well, he wants to honor us. And this is one of the ways in which he honors us, through our life of wisdom. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. Well, I don't know about you, but I like to walk in pleasant ways, and I like to be at peace. This is the fruit of wisdom. Amen. She is a tree of life. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. I mean, pleasant ways, peace, life, and blessing, that seems pretty good fruit. This is all the result of wisdom, of just doing what pleases God. It's good, isn't it? I'm being blessed by this. Please yourself. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundation. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. You see, everything he does is wisdom. You know, you can look at some of his creation and say, well, I don't know why he made it that way. Well, it was the outworking of wisdom. By his knowledge, the deeps were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. Verse 21, my son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. So wisdom is expressed in sound judgment and discernment. Boy, do we need a lot of that these days. Sound judgment and discernment. Now, that's not only about our lives, but about our circumstances. You see, it's very important that we have some real discernment as to what is happening in the Middle East at present. When we're hearing a lot on the media about Israel's overreaction to circumstances. You see, anybody who understands what is happening in the Middle East knows that to Israel, they're not overreacting. They are fighting for the survival of the nation. It's a very small nation, a very powerful nation. But if all the nations that oppose her were to attack her, Israel would not have any hope in the natural. It would be swamped. So any invasion of the territory that they have, they know is the thin end of the wedge. Unless they react and say, no way. So to be attacked by having soldiers kidnapped in one place and then killed and kidnapped in another might seem like a major thing to evoke such a response. But what it says to Israel is they are starting to invade our borders. If this does not stop, we will not continue to exist as a nation. Now, that's not to say that we want violence or anything like that in the Middle East. No, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for peace for the nation of Israel. But we do need some discernment as to what is going on. I was watching the television yesterday, and I watched Sky News, and they had a correspondent in Israel. And I thought, that is the most pro-Israel report that I've heard for months, if not years. And then I turned over to the BBC and they had somebody in Lebanon, and you would think that they were talking about a totally different conflict. And we just need discernment. Well, you discern what is happening, you discern what God is saying. Now, I just use that as an example because it's contemporary and what is happening today. But we need discernment about the daily circumstances of our lives. What is happening around us? What is going on? God has given us a gift of the Holy Spirit called discerning of spirits. And we need to see where people are really speaking in the name of the Lord, whether it is just their own opinions, whether what is happening is of the flesh, whether it is something that is actually an attack upon us by the enemy. We need to be using these gifts of the Holy Spirit that God has given to all of us. Don't tell me you don't have that gift. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have the gift of discernment within you. Because the Scripture says you do not lack any spiritual gift. So, if we exercise discernment, what will happen? Well, verse 22, this will be life for you, and you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. You'll have no fear of sudden disaster. I mean, that's all the fruit of exercising discernment. It's wise to be discerning. It's wise to trust to the discerning of the Spirit. It's wise to say, Holy Spirit, help me to understand what is going on here. Are you there? So all these things, and I mean there's many more in these early chapters of Proverbs about wisdom, especially the first 8 chapters. And we could see many, many other benefits and fruits of wisdom, but just these few things that I've mentioned this morning. It's wisdom to obey His commands. It's wisdom to obey Him. It's wisdom to walk in love and faithfulness. It's wisdom to trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's wisdom to fear the Lord and to shun evil and not to be wise in your own eyes. It's wise to honor the Lord with your wealth. It's wise to accept the Lord's discipline. It's wise to see the fruit of wisdom in your life, because it's better than riches. It's wise to have sound judgment and discerning. If we were to go on into the rest of the chapter, it's wise to give to others. It's wise to walk in righteousness, because the Lord takes the upright into his confidence. It's wise to be humble, because God gives grace to the humble. And then the chapter ends in verse 35. The wise inherit honor. Now, at this particular time, why is God speaking to us this word about wisdom? Those of you who were at the church prayer meeting on Wednesday, I'll say no more. The few of you that were at the church prayer meeting on Wednesday, compared with how many we are, will know that it was a very strategic time. Because God put before us a principle of faith that is of cardinal importance for us as a church. And it's always wise to do what God says. And what he told us to do was to see what he sees. And to speak into being what he sees. Because you see, if God sees something, that is going to happen. If he shows us what he sees. Hello? And we know that whatever he does is wisdom, it's never foolishness. Now, I'm sure most of you will be going to the camp. Perhaps some of you won't be able to go for various practical reasons. But we were praying on Wednesday that even if you weren't able to go, you're going to get your life impacted in the same way as those who do go. But what do you see about the camp? Now, some of you might say, well, I don't see anything. I haven't even thought about it. Or, well, I've just been praying that, you know, God would move at the camp. But what do you mean? What do you see? Well, God already knows what he's going to do at the camp. Nothing that happens there will be a surprise to him. It will only be what he has planned. And so he can reveal what it is he's going to do. Because, you see, the scripture says here that he takes the righteous, the upright, into his confidence. So if we as a church are wanting to walk in the way of the Lord, he's going to take us into his confidence. And he's going to show us what he sees. Now, the reason why he does that is so that we can believe what he says. So that we can go into the camp with great confidence. If what he shows us is good. Amen? But it means also that we have got the opportunity for God to move and to work in our hearts in whatever way is necessary so that what he sees can actually happen. Now, if God shows us what he's going to do, it's not a question of us simply saying, oh, well, praise God, that's what he's going to do, so we can just stick our hands in our pockets, sit back, nice laid back, smile, hallelujah, that's what he's going to do. No, you see, it doesn't work like that, because he shows us what he's going to do. Then he speaks a word into our lives this morning about wisdom. Now, what's the connection? What I'm going to do in the camp is going to be the fruit of wisdom.
Amen.
I'll try that again. What he's going to do in the camp is going to be the fruit of wisdom. Now, what he will do in the camp will be the work of his Spirit. But then, how do we get wisdom? It's a work of the Spirit within our lives. What do we want God to do in the lives of people at the camp? Well, we want everybody to be brought into a place of obedience to the Lord, where they really honor him by doing his will, don't we? We want all those 6,000 plus people that will come to the camp to be in that place of obedience to the Lord. We want them to come into wisdom. Okay. So then they can have prolonged lives and keep coming back to camp for many years to come. But also they will prosper. We want them to love the Lord. We want them to be faithful to the Lord, don't we? Well, that's the fruit of wisdom. Hello? We want them to trust the Lord with all their hearts, don't we? I don't see every lip moving here. We want them to trust the Lord with all their hearts and lean not on their own understanding. We want them to have real revelation of the truth, and we want the spirit of faith to be working within them to bring them through to a place of faith. That's what we want, isn't it? We want them to fear the Lord instead of being wise in their own eyes. Let me tell you, many churches are run by groups of people that are wise in their own eyes. And they want the church to be run their way instead of God's way. We always try to run this church in God's way. Is that all right? Well, that's the only way we're going to do it. Anyway, because our opinions really don't matter. It's what the Lord wants that matters. Are you there? Okay, we want everybody to honor the Lord with their wealth at the camp, don't we? Especially when it comes to the camp offering. Hallelujah, praise God. You don't know how important those offerings are to the whole of Kingdom Faith, to our ongoing work. But we want people we want them to honor their wealth when they go back to their churches so that they will prosper, so that God will be honored in the way in which they use their money. We want the people that are at camp to accept the Lord's discipline in whatever way he speaks into their lives, because he's going to bring correction into a lot of people's lives. Isn't this right? Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what you want for others? Isn't that what you want for the Lord's sake? Because this is his will for all of his people. Then we want to see the fruit of wisdom in people's lives, so they have long life, pleasant ways, peace, that they partake of the tree of life and are blessed. Isn't that what we want for others? We want them all to have sound judgment and discernment, so they can go back and give true discernment of what is happening in their churches, in their towns and cities and villages. They can understand what is happening in this nation. They can understand what the will and purpose of God is at this time. We want them to be wise in giving to others. We want them all to be in the position with God where he can take them into his confidence. We want them to go in a spirit of humility so that grace will be upon them. And we want all their lives to be honored. Isn't that what we want for everybody at camp? That's what God wants to do, because that really is an outworking of a reviving of his Spirit, bringing his people out of foolishness back into wisdom, where he can have his way in the church, so that then the nation gets blessed.
Amen.
Well, it's good to want all that for the people at the camp. But if we're the leaven, we've got to want that for ourselves before we get to the camp. Hello? Lord, I want wisdom in every area of my life. I want all foolishness out of my life. It doesn't belong. I want to walk in the Spirit, and that is to walk in wisdom. That is to walk in obedience. That is to walk in faith. That is to walk in love and in faithfulness. Well, we've only got 2 weeks to walk. But I believe right now, God wants to do something in many hearts right at this moment. Let's just pray. I just want you to get straight before God and to say, Holy Spirit, show me any ways of foolishness in my life. Because I recognize that foolishness dishonors you. I don't want to be wise in my own eyes. I want to be wise in your eyes, Lord. If you've been indisciplined and disobedient in some way, then now's a good time to say, Lord, thank you for your word to me this morning. This is your discipline. And it's wise to accept your discipline because you're speaking to me in love. And I realize this morning you want me to have all the fruits of wisdom. That you want to bless me. You want me to prosper. You want me to be in good health, to prolong my life many years, to make my ways pleasant, to give me peace. So, Lord, I want to shun evil. I want to shun all foolishness. I want to turn away from everything that does not really please you. Turn away from everything that grieves you and embrace only what pleases you. Lord, I want a heart of wisdom. Now thank you that you've given me your Spirit. Thank you that that wisdom is there within me, waiting to be expressed through my life. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. Thank you that you haven't judged me or condemned me for past foolishness. But thank you for the power of your blood that was shed for me. That you've cleansed me from all past foolishness. You've given me your Spirit of wisdom. So now I may walk in ways that please you. See, already there's the peace. As soon as we embrace wisdom, there's peace. Lord, we thank you for this peace. Thank you that you're manifesting your peace right at this moment. Now, Lord, I pray for grace to be upon all of us. All of us, Lord. Every member of Kingdom Faith. That we will walk in wisdom. In all the ways that we've spoken about this morning. Thank you that you give us the grace to do that. Thank you that even this week, we are going to begin to experience all the blessings that come from that walk of wisdom. This is going to be a week of prosperity for many people here. This is going to be a week of blessing for all of us. This is going to be a week of healing and of health as our lives are brought back into your order. This is going to be a week where you straighten the path before us. This is going to be a week where you take us into your confidence and that we hear your voice and you give us discernment and wisdom concerning many of the circumstances in our lives where we've been confused and perplexed in the past. Thank you, Lord. That as we seek to honor you with our lives, this is going to be a week when you honor us. Because we seek those lives of wisdom. Now, Lord, we speak over the camp what you have shown us. A move of your spirit where you break into the lives of thousands of people, where you change and transform and heal, where you bring life and victory where there's been failure and defeat. We see you equipping and raising up a people that will be sent out to make a difference all over this nation. We just see your sovereign move, not only in the main meetings, but in the move and in all the children's groups. We just see the holiness of God, the presence of God, the majesty of God, the glory of God being revealed in every area of the camp. We believe this is your purpose, Lord, and we know that as you come and meet with us in the ways that you have prepared for, that you are going to create a people of wisdom that will honor you. And we just give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. Let's all stand. We give you all the praise, Lord. Just lift your hands to the Lord. Just praise Him right now. We say no to sin. We say no to foolishness. We say no to temptation. We say no to every work of the devil. And we say yes to God. We say yes to His word. Yes to His will. Yes to His purposes. We praise your name. Hallelujah. Come on, let's lift our voices with a great shout of praise. Hallelujah. We praise you. We bless you. We magnify you. Hallelujah! Oh, rati parazatu bukarasitu risatu. Just turn before you sit down to all those around you and say, God has called you to wisdom.